in a bank account right now is because you are standing on the privilege of previous feminists who fought for this right. Are you dumb? Don't be stupid.
It's the man's spreading lies. Girl, they about love. Feminism.
Yeah. There's this thing in Nigeria now where if you identify as a feminist in any way, they will judge you.
Yeah, it's also here.
They will say, oh my God, you're such an angry, like, angry person. Because there are a group of people in Nigeria, misogynists, I would say. They have now blended the two definitions together, being a misogynist and being a feminist. We know it's completely different things, but now if you say, oh my God, I'm a feminist, I want women to have equal rights, they're like, cool, so you hate men. I didn't say that. Are you stupid?
Are you hateable, though? I'd be like,
By that question, like, you sound hateable to me, so I understand why you're getting hate, right? But it's not the same thing.
Yeah. No, that is such a simple minded statement to say, I think, like,
because they want to use
it. But also it's everywhere. Like, I sometimes think, like, okay, we're talking about third world countries that we're from.
Yeah.
But then also in Germany, like, did you watch the Eurovision?
My best friend wanted me to watch it, but I haven't had time. But tell me about it.
So, like, the girl that represented Germany,
she German?
Yeah, she German Italian. She was asked if she's feminist, and she was like, "Well, no, I don't identify as a feminist because I have a great man on my side, and if I have a lovely man on my side, I cannot hate
on
man."
You don't mean it. You don't mean it.
Exactly.
You don't mean it.
It's in Germany. That's the person who's representing Germany in Eurovision. And then, literally 10 minutes later, she was like, "My song Fire is about girl
women
power."
I hate that
girl power. And I'm like, "Girl, you're dumb as a nut." And so, yeah.
You know, I hate it so much when I can have a good man, a partner, a husband, a boyfriend. I think sometimes people expect that because you were a good man, you would not speak up for the rights of other, like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh, no, that just encourages you, like, I feel like.
Yes, because you know what other people deserve. Are you... Yeah, we have a long way to go. We're gonna sleep here if we continue with this conversation.
Yeah.
To be
Let
honest.
Me order pizza real quick.
Because it's never gonna end, though. It's never gonna end.
Never.
But
we're just the beginning.
Yeah, like, not even, because imagine, sometimes I feel like the feminists of before who fought for us to have, like, bank accounts and stuff, they would be rolling in their graves if they find out the nonsense they were doing in 2026. If they find out that they fought and maybe even died for somebody to go on national television and say, you know what, I'm not a feminist just because I have a great man, you know?
Yeah, girl. And they're representing the song Fire, like, which is like about girls' power. Like, oh, come on.
Be for real right now.
In this economy.
Anyways, I think that this conversation was really, really nice.
Yeah, same.
Well, I learned so
Wait,
much.
That sounded so cringe. Yeah, same. Oh, you know, my, like, God, those, I hated that.
I have this thing. I don't hate them, but I have something about Americans. Not like everybody, but there's a way they sound sometimes that sounds really...
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that.
I tend to identify with that quite a lot because, like, also, like, speaking Persian is very...
I pitch. They're like, yeah, have a nice... I'm like, girl, nobody sounds like that on a normal day. What do you mean? Like, before we were right now... pisses me off.
But just trying to be fake nice, which is, like,
it's a very non-German thing to do. The Germans will stare you cold in the eyes.
I'd rather have that, though. I'd rather have people being fake nice to me, and I can identify that, and I just know immediately, like, you're bullshitting, instead of Germans just, like, being upfront, like,
I hate your ass. Get
out.
Oh,
God. It's just... It's too real. Yeah. I don't fuck
with
that.
I also can't do that. Germans wouldn't survive in Nigeria just as I'm struggling to survive here because they're so direct and it catches me off guard because we are told to be really, like, you have to play it safe. Even if you want to be like, what you did really hurt me. So, yeah, about it. Yesterday, when you came over, like... It was not a very nice thing to... We just play around. Like, the Germans are like, don't come to my house again. Like... Get out. Get out. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. But I had a lovely, lovely conversation. We have great chemistry. In case you couldn't tell, we're having, like, such a vibe here in the studio.
This is just the beginning.
This is really just the beginning. We hope that you had an insightful listen on this episode or show today. We hope that this episode makes you think about what feminism really means to you. We hope... It also helps you think about the struggles that women go through in today's society. It is way, way, way more than we could ever explain. yeah, it was really nice. What do you have to say, Jay?
I hope that people who are listening to this show can just relate to our trauma. I think so.
Sorry, by the way, in advance.
Yeah, but like that's something that would just make this connection between all of us girlies, and especially like coming from other cultures can sometimes be very confusing and not knowing if other people also have like these experiences. But yeah, it is, that's the tea. All of us went through the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Also, recently I just discovered that men don't understand the realities that women go through. I was in a tram and I was speaking to a Nigerian man, and he was like, when I talk to girls on the tram, they never give me they don't give me attention. They don't even want to have a conversation. And I just want to have conversations with them. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't really blame these girls because they've probably had conversations with men before that didn't end well. So we're just trying to protect ourselves. And the man is like, from what? Like, what are you protecting yourself from? From yo and crazy other people. Like, yo, what do you mean? They don't realize that we live in completely different realities.
Mm.
And after this conversation where I was trying to educate him, he looks at me and he's like, so can I have your number?
Oh my God, me when I'm delusional.
At that moment, I didn't even bother saying, like, this is exactly why girls don't talk to you. It just clicked for me that I wasted my 5 minutes because the education was pointless.
Yeah, just don't.
So yeah, the point
next time, just don't.
If you're listening to this as a guy, women and men exist in completely different realities. So do your best to not make it harder for the girls or the women around you, please.
And you should be ashamed of yourself, just generally, always.
I don't know what Jamie.
Just like because you're a boy.
Oh no, please wear your masculinity proudly. But yeah, we exist in completely different realities from you. So it's more like a prey versus predator kind of situation. So please try to make it easier for us. But it was really nice doing this from all of us. By all of us, I mean me and Jay. That was really cool. We will be signing out now. Catch you next time.
In the club, we all fam.
Майко. Дружба. Привіт. Приходь до нас.
Come on, voices.
Hi, we are on a Radio Corax on Common Voices in podcast Don't Take It For Granted. We live surrounded by things that once were dreams, sacrifices, or even miracles. We start to believe they are permanent, guaranteed, ours by default. But they are not. Don't take it for granted, because the moment you do, you've already started losing it. In this podcast, we talk about values. About the things you only understand when they are already gone, when it is too late. So, I'm Lika. What exactly shouldn't we take for granted? I always ask my guest about it, and every guest says his own view of what shouldn't be taken for granted. Today on Don't Take It For Granted, we are joined by the legendary UK, like British band, the Tiger Lilies. Oh, they recently came to perform at Halle Saale, and I had the chance to speak with them backstage. It was a real pleasure and luck, especially since they had an extremely tight schedule. They were only in town for one day and had a concert at the very same evening. So I feel myself very lucky to manage to speak and steal their time. So, the Tiger Lilies are a British avant-garde band that has existed since 1989. This band, they are standing out strongly from the mainstream music scene. They were formed in London by singer and songwriter Martin Jack, who's our guest today, by the way, actually. The style of the band is often described as dark cabaret or gritty theatrical punk cabaret, like dark thing. Highly expressive vocals, Martin's vocal, you will hear it today, of course, double bass, and of course, very provocative lyrics. They often address themes such as marginal life, violence, sexuality, death, and social taboos, our favorite theme. All delivered with dark humor, of course. They are often regarded as a highly intellectual and art house act. Some live music from the concert, which they kindly invited me on. They had no chance, like. Except their art and music, I very appreciate and very big fan of their political activity. Actually, large part of their creative activity is connected to politics. More precisely, on social media, they are very vocal about their political views. And I am especially happy about this interview because I follow them on Facebook and admire their political engagement. Every day they post something on the actual political situation in the world, and their posts always go straight to my soul. I always think, wow, why? You are so precise. like suspiciously often. Okay, so that's one of the reasons really actually why I wanted to talk to Martin. He has always supported Ukraine and Georgia and both of my homelands that are suffering from Russian aggression. I very appreciate it because they have a very big audience and they are very vocal about the support, about their views, about their opinion on the events which are happening in our world. Yeah, and the Tiger Lilies even released the album which called Ukraine. The album was created after the beginning of the war as a reaction to the events unfolding in Ukraine. The album consists of songs written by Martin Jacques in which he reflects on what he saw and felt through news, conversations, social media and stories from Ukrainians. Also in this album there is a kind of criticism of Russian leadership and solidarity with Ukraine. An important, very important detail is that all proceeds from the album were donated to support Ukraine through charitable organizations. It's great, like, wow, thank you, really. The album was released in 2023 and was accompanied by concerts in Ukraine, including performances in Lviv and Kyiv, like making concert during this war. Wow, it's very cool because you know what is going on there and every day shootings and missiles attack. But they are still supporting not only by words like, but financially and making concerts, attract the attention of the world to the war in Ukraine. Wow, yeah, and that's why I was very happy to have the possibility to talk to Martin. I introduced Martin Jacques, the leader of the Tiger Lilies. Martin, I'd like to talk to you. You can't imagine about what? About politics. I'm very fond of your political taste. I have to say this. I'm a big fan of your political taste. It matches mine like always, you know. Ukraine, Georgia, Iran, you consistently seem to side with truth, progress, people and the future, I would say. You've also been very vocal in supporting Ukraine, even releasing an album titled Ukraine. So what are you playing tonight? Should we expect songs from that album?
One. One song, which is called Birds Are Singing in Ukraine, which is a sort of a very sad, I think, ballad. And it's about after the war is over. And it's a song about the war's over and there's the bodies, you know, the dead soldiers in the soil, you know, and the birds are singing, the countryside. And there's young people, young lovers, and but in the soil. It's a very sad song, and I sing that. It's the final song of the concert, right at the end. And at the end, I say fuck Putin at the end, and everybody cheers. Well, not everybody cheers, but because I suppose there are strangely enough some people in this world who. Actually support Putin, but most people cheer, yeah.
Yeah, cheering people, yeah. Okay, supporting Ukraine might seem like the most obvious thing in the world, and yet somehow it isn't obvious for many, particularly in Germany. So let me ask Martin directly, why do you support Ukraine?
Well, there is a special reason why. And it's the person that you've seen walking around, Martina. She's from Poland, and she runs a film festival every year, and it's the Ukraine Film Festival. So I've been knowing her for 15 years now. And so every year, she's the curator of the festival. So every year she has to look at lots of Ukrainian films. So for the last 15 years, I've actually watched maybe four or five films every year about Ukraine. And so for me, I've actually seen what's happening and really happening. And she obviously has a very strong sense of the injustice of what's happened, you know. And me too. You know, I get a very strong sense of just how horrible and how unfair it is, you know, the whole thing. And so that makes me very motivated. You know, it's just a very, you know, people think that it's political, and in a funny kind of way, it's not even political. It's just not right. It's wrong, you know. It's just a bad thing. And why I do it, I feel sorry. I feel sad. I feel there's people dying, you know. It's not actually about... It's not necessarily Ukraine. It could be somewhere else. But it's just when you see that unfairness, the injustice, you know, that there's somebody invading a country just and stolen washing machines and killed people and raped people and murdered people, you know. And I've seen lots of documentaries and stuff, and you see how people are suffering, and you see old people that have been left in villages that are, you know, the Russians have, you know, I've seen all these things, horrible things happening, and it makes me very sad.
Yeah, like it should be obvious, but still we should to explain every time why we are supporting Ukraine, like the country which is just resisting against aggression, brutal, unfair, cruel aggression of neighbor country. I don't know where the world is going that we still should explain the things every time, but we do this again and again. Martin, I thank you very much. You are, as an artist, why are you so politically engaged, and why are you so politically active? Because I see your posts on Facebook, like it's everyday routine, not only music, but political activities as well, very important part of your performance.
As an artist, I have the privilege to be able to write songs about things, and so I write the songs about things, and occasionally, like with that, the whole album Ukraine, and you know, very often I have somebody from Ukraine comes to me and that says, you know, says thank you, and which is really, you know, nice as well. So I'm very happy, and then, but it's a funny, it's a bit fan based, you see, with me, because I also have, strangely enough, I also have lots of fans from Iran. And why do I have lots of fans from Iran? I think there was a crazy Iranian man, and I'll never meet him. He might even be dead now, but it was some 25 years ago, and he spread the tiger lilies all over among young Iranian people, Persian people. They were all listening. It was like an underground thing, you know, and they were all listening to the tiger lilies. And so we play, and every night we have Iranian people come, and they say, I've been listening to you for 25 years. Some crazy band, I think. So I know those people, and then they tell me stories. They say to me things like, I'm a death metal. I remember one in Heidelberg. He said, I'm a death metal musician. And I went to prison for 5 years for playing death metal music in Iran, you know, and then he escaped and got away, you know. So I talked to Iranian people, I talked to people from Ukraine, and that's why I think about them and I support them, because they're my fans. They're my fans, and I know it's just a human thing, that I know that it's horrible. People suffer so much, you know, because of the cruelty and the injustice of, you know, the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, or the the Russians. And it's funny how they're very close allies, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's not. I suppose it's not funny, but yeah. They're both monsters. Monsters, I suppose, you know, hang together.
Yeah, because they have much in common, Iranian dictators and Russian. Speaking about your art, I was particularly impressed by your video about some man who is very similar to Putin. And this man gets hanged in every imaginable way. Some animated hero, like pictures, animated pictures are changing, and in every new shot, this man is hanged in different ways. The message is very clear, no any double meaning, but who came up with this script? Whose idea was this? Martina helped you, as far as I know, yeah?
She actually, because she runs this festival, they have an animation section, I think, or something. So she knows all these Ukrainian animators, and so I think she has a friend, Ukrainian friend, who does an animation festival, I think, in Iran, in Ukraine. Oh God, in Ukraine. And so she said, "Oh, what do you?" I said, "We had this idea, maybe of we could use lots of Ukrainian animators could make a video." I don't know whose idea it was to actually have them all hanging Putin, but it was funny, wasn't it? I've actually thought it was very funny. I kind of, it was almost like a comedic thing, you know, sort of, you know, animators hanging Putin in different ways, you know. It was quite funny. And so it was a good video. It was very disappointing, though. It was very disappointing, the number of people that saw it. I mean, it was like really low, you know, because it was banned. You know, I mean, Facebook banned it, and, you know, all the social media things just banned it, you know. So it was a really great video, but not many people really saw it because, you know, it's not regarded as being, you know, you're not supposed to hang Putin, yeah. You know. You know, yeah.
So about this song, which we were talking about, it's called I'm a Star, featured by the man who is very similar to Putin. Let's listen to this song, The Tiger Lilies, I'm a Star.
Вы хотите декоммунизации? Ну что же, нас это вполне устраивает. Но не нужно, что называется, останавливаться на полпути. Мы готовы показать вам, что значит для Украины настоящая декоммунизация.
Yes, I am. I'm a star.
I just heard out the last words, like in Russian language. Yeah, I advise you to see this video, to find it. I'm a Star, the Tiger Lilies, about different ways to hang Putin. A very satisfying video. Marian, you've been very clear in your work about the war, about Putin, about naming things as they are. And yet, you know, many people still insist that it's all very complicated. Like, you know, for them it's not obvious, not clear what's going on, who is doing what, you know. Why don't people and politicians call evil by its name?
I don't know. Really, I don't really understand it.
For you, it's obvious, like, yeah, not complicated.
No, I mean, it probably seems quite obvious. I mean, if you're a Ukraine, you would see it as being evil and people being killed, you know, for no reason, really. I've never been able to work out reason, really, why. Well, I mean, I suppose it's because he wants to have an empire or something. I don't know. He's mentally... there's something wrong in his head, you know. I suppose... Hitler was the same, I suppose. These people, you know, the Iranians, the same. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in their head, you know. They actually have some... They think there's nothing wrong with killing innocent people in large numbers. So for me, it seems quite obvious that. But there seems to be some sort of... I think politics, actually, is the... As you've said, it's like some kind of sick cabaret... because it's a game. It's a game. They're playing a game. They're playing this weird game. And it's not actually about anything to do with reality. It's a bit like a board game or something, you know, where they're playing a game. And they don't seem... They've managed to disassociate human suffering and human injustice from the game so they can actually... in some way justify the evil that's going on. And, yeah, I don't understand really why they bother, you know. I don't think it's very nice when you're lying on your deathbed and you look back on your life and you think you lived a lie. You lied to yourself, you lied to people, everybody. You took the side of a murderer or whatever, and I don't understand why people do that, but they do.
If we treat modern politics as theater or better yet, cabaret, has it become more absurd recently, or are we just finally paying attention? Do you ever get the feeling that reality itself has outpaced satire? That there's almost nothing left to exaggerate, like, yeah, because, you know, I used to think politics was a serious business, but then I took a closer look and realized it's more like a rather cabaret, where the script is being rewritten mid-performance, the actors forget their lines, and somehow the audience is still expected to believe it all makes sense. And honestly, it feels like you understood the rules of this cabaret long before the rest of us. I know that you are like inspired by political figures. Are there political figures today who feel like fully formed grotesque characters, as if they walked straight onto the stage without any need for adaptation? Ready figure. Do you have a current favorite politician? Someone who particularly writes your material for you?
My favorite actor.
Actor, like inspiration.
No, not really.
In a grotesque way.
Oh, in a grotesque way. Well, they're all weird, aren't they? I mean, you know, if you listen to Putin or you listen to Trump, or you, they're all.
I mean,
they're really, I don't know. They're weird, aren't they? They're very strange. I don't know. I do find Trump is quite. I don't know. He's just doing this whole thing at the moment with our king, Prince Charles, old King Charles, and you sort of look at it and you think, what's this all about? You know, it's all very odd, isn't it? Very strange the way they live their lives and
Trump and Putin, like.
They're the most famous, aren't they? Trump and Putin, I suppose. You know, I guess your president is very famous as well. Zelensky is very famous, but he seems okay. Somebody came up to me and said, I went to school with Zelensky, and he's not a good man. You know, and I sort of thought, I wonder if he's a Russian, probably a Russian agent or something, trying to, I don't know. But you know that he's on the side of good, I suppose. You could look at it like that. And Putin's on the side of bad, I suppose. Evil is the evil and the good, isn't it? Really, you're being simplistic. Well, how can it be anything else, really? I mean, one of them is, an innocent a country which has just been attacked, and the other one is the one that's attacking them. So. He's the bad guy and he's the good guy. It seems obvious to me. I think maybe people maybe overcomplicate things, you know. There's different layers going on. Well, there's not really. I always sort of see a parallel with Hitler, really, with Putin, because you don't really... You can't really think about Hitler as being like... he was just a bad man. And it seems to me that Putin is just a bad man. It's quite simple. I mean, there are wars... where it is more complicated because it's more 50-50, you know? Maybe if you think about the First World War and you think about, the Germans in the First World War and the English and the French in the First World War, maybe it's a bit more not so obviously who the real bad guy is, you know? And there are wars, I think, where both sides have... point of, you know, have some justification. But with people like Hitler or with people like Putin, it doesn't really seem like that. It just seems like they're the bad guys. You know, I mean, you can't really... How can you justify what Putin is doing? How could you justify what Hitler did? They were just bad. How can you justify what... It's the same with this guy in Iran, you know. I mean, the Revolutionary Guard, I mean... People do. I mean, this is when the politics comes in. People actually seem to want to justify that they're not bad. I mean, for me, they're just bad.
Yeah.
They're killings, murdering sort of thousands of people. I don't know, it's weird, but people are weird. They manage to, they seem to be able to fool themselves into, but this politics is a very, politics is a cabaret. I stole that from somebody, from an interviewer I was.
Yeah, you're welcome. Martin, is it it's strange that a former comedian like Zelensky now appears almost painfully serious, while many like serious politicians drift into unintentional parody? You know, when I see parody on Trump, every time I think Trump is the best parody on himself. Every his speech, it's ready material, like ready parody on himself. Isn't it weird that a comedian looks so serious and acting so serious and so-called serious politicians acting like comedians, like clowns, like stand-uppers, bad stand-uppers? What is your meaning about Trump, Zelensky?
He always reminded me of Batman, you know, yeah. Trump. He always comes across as being a bit like a villain from a Batman movie. You know, and but yeah, Zelensky was a comedian, and now he's not funny, is he? He seems to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. He seems very sad and very, you know, you can understand it though, why he feels like that, you know, sad. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, Trump is a. Trump is quite like a comedy. He's like a Batman villain. But then so is Putin, really. I mean, he's sort of like, he's not very funny, but he's evil, isn't he? I mean, he's horrible. This interview, we'll boil this interview down, you're going to just be me mumbling on about how Putin's a horrible man.
No more Putin.
Promise it. Okay. You know, this radio show, this podcast is called Don't Take It For Granted. It's about values. It's values we tend to overlook until they're gone, about important things that we are often taking for granted. In your view, which values are the most dangerous to take for granted today? Peace, truth, what is for you?
For me, like the thing about freedom is... probably a really a big one, freedom, because people that come from Eastern Europe, they can remember what it's like to live in a country which isn't free, you know, with the Soviet Union and whatever. And people that live in the West, they don't understand what, they've always been free. So they don't really understand what it's like not to be free. It seems to me that people from, you know, Eastern Europe, whether it's their Polish or Georgians, another one, Ukrainian, obviously, they know what it's like not to be free. And even here, this was Eastern Germany, and I remember going to the museum in Berlin, the Stasi Museum in Berlin, and it starts, you walk around in that place, and they tell you about the camera, and they tell you about this, there was a cushion where they actually, they could take the scent of people's backsides and things, and it's just like collective insanity, especially in Germany. It was much worse here in Eastern Germany than it was in Poland, for example. All these, the secret police, you know, and it's just like, it's crazy, it's insanity. And that's living in a society which isn't free. There are people from the West, I don't think they understand what it's like to live, you know, with a dictator. And you can't trust anyone. You just can't trust people because they might be working for the government, you know. So it's really a freedom is a big thing, I think, that people don't understand. A lot of Western people don't understand about freedom, you know. So maybe that's one, but I'm sure there's lots of other things, you know.
But what is freedom for you personally?
Well, it just means, as an artist, for example... It means I can actually carry on performing. I live in Athens, and I'm not allowed to perform. I was stopped from performing by leftists in Athens because I support Ukraine.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was in a couple, two or three years ago, and I was going to sing in a square in Athens in support of. They wanted to build a tube, an underground station, and I was going to support them in not letting them build the underground station. And then they said, "Oh, you can't because you support Ukraine." And you think, "Oh, so." You know, so that's what the Russians were supposed to be left, weren't they? And they banned musicians and banned artists and persecuted artists, and so that's what freedom is. It's simple, isn't it? Really, you should be allowed to, as an artist, you should be allowed to express your art and your opinions, and you should be free to express them. You know, and dictators, left or right, you know, they push you out of windows and things, you know, and kill you, and you know, journalists, and so we have to fight. Those are the people we have to fight against.
About freedom, about what we risk to lose in Western Europe. What would you tell to Germans, to local people? What should they do to save their freedom?
Well, I suppose it's you have to vote for the right people. You know, the party. That's what democracy is about. And so I suppose you don't really want to vote for the AfD because they support Russia. You know, so they have to vote for someone who's prepared to stand up to Russia and fight against dictators and dictatorships and, you know, and stand for freedom, really. I never thought that I'd ever be like doing an interview where I'm sort of talking about freedom and democracy, really, but life's funny like that. You know, I always used to think I was more like an anarchist or you know, and I even left a socialist. I used to think so, but it's weird. I mean I'm not right wing. I mean, look at the AfD, it supports Russia, but at the same time I think you start to realize, you know, there are lots of people that don't understand, for some one reason or other, they don't appreciate what freedom is. You have to vote for and support the people who are prepared to stand up against the dictators. And it's quite simple, really. You just need to support the people that stand up for freedom.
Thank you.
So it was Tiger Lily's Martin Jack. It was a great pleasure to talk with this great man, great musician. I was very happy to talk with Martin about such important things. And I don't want to be a bore preaching morals, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the things we could lose, really. And for Martin, it is freedom. Thank you, Tiger Lilies, for sharing with us your opinions, your art. It was, don't take it for granted, on Radio Chorus, on Radio Common Voices. We will have many more topics to talk about and more things to discuss, which we should not take for granted. And now let's listen to that very song from album Ukraine, which is we were talking about with Martin on the start of our show. The Tiger Lily's birds are singing in Ukraine.
All this will be over soon. And we will sing a happy tune. And flowers and birds sing in the fields. Corpses in the earth to war to yield. And happy lovers are holding hands to their future, making plans. Their fathers killed the corpses underneath. All that's left are bones and teeth.